We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and Wendry.
And I hope you didn't go to bed too early last night, because if so, you missed an all-time memorable playoff game between the Suns and the Clippers. No Kawhi Leonard. No Chris Paul, but plenty of drama. It concludes with what has already been dubbed the Valley-oop. An alley-oop from Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton in the final second. Suns win by a point to take a 2-0 series lead. Heading to L.A. for Game 3, Chris Paul is expected to be out of health and safety protocols by then and be in the starting lineup. For a Phoenix Suns organization that is now just 2 wins away from the NBA Finals, we'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. We finished talking about the NBA Draft Lottery and last night's game broadly in the opening segment. I'll take a break, come back, spend some time on Cameron Payne, because he has become one of the big stories in this series in the absence of Chris Paul. It's a local product, graduated from Lausanne, and now not only is he helping the Phoenix Suns take a 2-0 lead in this best-of-seven series in the Western Conference Finals, he's making a lot of money. I see people speculating now that he could get $10 million a year. It's a guy who was out of the NBA completely not too long ago. Wonderful story. We'll focus on that in the middle segment in this first hour. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them umpires checking pitchers for foreign substances came to a head last night. Max Scherzer flipped out because Joe Girardi more or less accused him of cheating. Fun scene, but it seems pretty clear MLB operating like this is not sustainable. We'll get into that around 4:44. The best 20-year-old baseball player in the world made his major league debut last night for the Rays. He did not disappoint. I'll tell you about Juan DeFranco a little later on this hour. The SEC Big 12 Challenge matchups for this upcoming college basketball season have been announced. Interesting game for the Vols. Rick Barnes, former Texas coach, will be coaching at Texas for the first time as a visitor. I'll run you through the matchups just before 5 o'clock. And Lakers guard Alex Caruso got a mugshot yesterday. Possession of marijuana down in Texas. Kind of crazy. You'll soon be able to carry a gun without a license or training in Texas. But having a little weed, that's going to be against the law still. Seems backwards to me. Like, I don't know. I'd much rather everybody have weed than guns. But I'm not in charge of Texas, so we'll discuss it in a little more detail during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA because it was an incredibly fun night last night. in the NBA, starting with the lottery order for the 2021 NBA draft being set, and for the first time in a long time, since 1970 to be exact, the Detroit Pistons going to pick first in the 2021 NBA draft, which means, like it or not, Oklahoma State All-American Cade Cunningham, he'd move into Detroit. The top five now looks like this. Detroit's going to pick first. Houston will pick second. Cleveland will pick third. Toronto will pick fourth. And Orlando will pick fifth. So for the top five picks, we'll go to Eastern Conference franchises, barring trades, of course. And those franchises, again, are Detroit, Cleveland, Toronto, and Orlando. Barring a surprise, the number one pick is going to be Cade Cunningham. And then after that, I believe Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Green will be selected in some order, 2, 3, 4. And then after that, I believe Jonathan Kuminga, Scotty Barnes, and Davion Mitchell will be selected in some order, 5, 6, 7. And then after that, who the hell knows? I'm telling you, as somebody who actually talks to NBA people, college coaches, agents, somebody who does mock drafts, I'm telling you, picks 8 through about 20 could just about go in any order. Mm-hmm. That's not normal. Usually, there's always tiers, or at least perceived tiers to this thing, but the tiers aren't 12 players long. You know, right now, if you told me to break down this draft, I'd say, I think Cade Cunningham's got to go one. So, like, people keep talking about, is this a 4-player draft, a 5-player draft? It's a 1-player draft at the top. It's Cade Cunningham. I don't know that the difference is that big between Cade Cunningham and whichever player will go second. Like, the gap was very big, at least the perceived gap, between LeBron James in 2003 and anybody who was going to go second. Or Anthony Davis in 2012 and anybody who was going to go second. Like, don't forget, like, Anthony Davis went 1 in that draft. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist went 2. That's how big the gap was between 1 and 2. This gap ain't that big, but Cade Cunningham, I think 26 of the 30 franchises would probably take him number 1 in this draft, and I'll be shocked if Detroit doesn't take him number 1 in this draft. So that's tier 1. And then tier 2, I think, is probably a 3-player tier. You know, Suggs, Cunningham, Mobley. I mean, Suggs, Mobley, and Jalen Green.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next tier, tier 3, if you will, is probably 3 players. Kuminga, Davion Mitchell, Scotty Barnes. And then the next tier, which, based on the way we're doing this, should be 3, 4 players, whatever. It's like maybe 12 players. Like 8 to 22. 8 to 20, 8 to 22, something in that range. Could go in just about any order. So draft night in that range, it could be wild. I guarantee you some prospects that some franchise have slotted in the 10-11 range on their big board are going to be in the 23 to 24 range on somebody else's big board. It's totally eye of the beholder stuff, really outside of, I think, the top 7. So it's going to be interesting, the middle of the first round of the 2021 NBA draft, but that's something we could talk about as draft night draws closer. Now to the actual game last night. After the lottery was over, we got game 2 of the Western Conference Finals, Suns Clippers. And who said you need Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard to have a good time?
No kidding. I had fun.
I had fun. Did you stay up for the whole thing?
Of course.
You saw the Valley Oop live.
Yep, I saw the Valley Oop live. Clippers plus 4.5. Let's go. And it was a fun night.
It was like, I was actually pretty tired. I got up pretty early yesterday after not sleeping so well the night before. My plan was not to stay up late. Like, I had to get home, shower, shave, do CBS Sports HQ. Probably had all of that done, all of my responsibilities done. I don't know, about 9 o'clock at night, maybe a little, between 9 and 9:30. I'd done every hit on HQ that I had to do. I had updated the mock draft, got it to my editors. I was probably done with my work at about 9, you know, sometime between 9 and 9:30. And at that point, I'm like, I'm a little mentally exhausted. Like, when you go straight from radio, drive home, take a shower, go straight on TV, get done with that, go straight to writing. You know, I don't confuse what I do with, you know, physical labor, manual labor, but it can be mentally draining. Like, man, I've been going full speed for a while now. So I'll unwind and you know, fall asleep relatively soon, hopefully. Because, again, I went into the day tired. and the game was just too compelling to walk away from. You had Campaign playing really well. That matters to me just because I root for anybody who's from here. I love watching people from here in all walks of life. Athletics, music, film. I root for people from here. So I'm rooting for Campaign, and to watch him do what he's doing on this stage, just awesome to see. I saw a Bulls fan, or maybe a Bulls writer last night, tweet, you know, the Bulls really could use a point, really could use a guard like Cameron Payne. Like they're the one that knocked him out of the NBA.
Yep.
And now here he is, you know, the fit and the situation and the culture has allowed him to get his career back on track. And so I'm intrigued by that, so I can't turn away. And then, you know, at some point I look up and it's like, all right, we're in the fourth quarter and it's a close game. I guess I'll just see this thing through the end. Mm-hmm. Now, did I know the final minute was going to take 30 minutes? No, not necessarily. I might have reconsidered if I'd have known that. But I tell you, the whole time that we were dealing with replays and delays and a lot of dead time, I never found myself bored or interested in walking away. I think it's all compelling. Like, I see a lot of people complaining about replays, and I get to that, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I don't know, while they're pausing the game to see if they can get something right or see who's supposed to be on the court and who's not supposed to be on the court, see what the clock's supposed to be, like, it gives you time to
grab a drink,
look at Twitter, mm-hmm. pop off a tweet. Like, you know, use your time wisely.
Agreed.
I don't mind it. I can understand, again, why some people do. I get it. I personally don't mind it. And if it drags out what is otherwise a good time, well, then it's dragging out a good time. Who doesn't like to have good times dragged out? So was last night excessive? Sure, last night was excessive. But I don't routinely find myself bothered by the delays in games, although I acknowledge I might be in the minority there. It was thrilling to the end for a variety of reasons, and there was a lot of stuff happening in the final seconds. But for the purposes of this segment, I just want to focus on three things that happened in the final seconds. I think the big three things that happened in the final seconds. One is the controversial replay involving Devin Booker and Patrick Beverley. Another is Paul George, this poor guy, missing two free throws in a one-point game with less than 10 seconds to go. And then lastly, of course, the alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton that won the game. And let's discuss them in that order, starting with the controversial replay. For people who didn't see it or maybe saw it, and because it was late and you were into your bar a little too much, you might not remember it clearly because things can get a little fuzzy late at night. The situation is this. It's 103-102 Clippers with 9.3 seconds left. Phoenix has the ball. They get it to Devin Booker, which seems wise because he's awesome, even with a broken nose. Oh, yeah, that's another part of the story. Devin Booker smashed his nose into Patrick Beverley's head, or vice versa, early in the game. And so he had to play the rest of the game with not only a nose that had to be taped shut, glued shut because of the blood. Like, it was actually crooked. My man's nose was crooked.
I can relate.
I don't know how Kendall Jenner is going to respond to that. I don't know if she ever dated a man with a crooked nose like that.
He could probably get it realigned.
I suspect he'll get it realigned. So they get the ball into him. Patrick Beverley, that little pest, knocks the ball away. It goes out of bounds. And the refs say it's Suns' ball because, to the human eye, in real time, it looks like it's Suns' ball. Like, we've all been watching basketball our entire lives. We've seen stuff like that our entire lives. One guy's dribbling the ball. Other guy tries to knock the ball away, actually does, go out of bounds. We're going to give that ball back to the team that had it. Except now in the NBA, not only do we have replay, boy, we got super slow-mo HD replay. And when they started showing that on ESPN, I don't care what you think about the rule, or how it's applied. Don't care how what you think about replay or how it's used. It is undeniable that the last person to touch that ball before it went out of bounds was Devin Booker. It was clear as day the first time they showed the replay in super slow-mo. So let me ask you this. Where are you at on this? There's two camps, basically. One is, hey, if you don't like replay, I understand. But replay is a part of the game. And the replay shows what it showed. And it showed the ball going off Devin Booker's hand. That's one camp. And the other camp would be, come on. Patrick Beverley knocked the ball out. I don't care who barely touched it last. Patrick Beverley knocked that ball out of bounds, away from Devin Booker. This is ridiculous.
I'm on the latter. Because if it was my team, I'd be pissed.
I can understand that.
That's just where I'm at on that.
This is a real problem that the NBA's got to resolve. Like, what do you want? What do you want? Because baseball's dealing with this right now. And in Major League Baseball, it's just become part of the game. For people who don't watch it, this is what I'm talking about. In baseball, forever, whether you're sliding into second or third, or you're turning a double play as a shortstop or a second baseman, we didn't have replay. And it was just sort of understood. If you're a base runner, you slide into second, you slide into third, you beat the throw, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a shortstop and you are turning a 4-6-3 double play, so ground ball to second, flip at the short, back to first, 4-6-3 double play. If you're in the range of the bag, like in the general vicinity of the bag as you come across to make your throw, that's a double play. But then they put in replay. And now, if you miss that bag by a millimeter, if that's what replay shows, we're safe at second. And if you're stealing second or trying to turn a single into a double, whatever, this is the one that happens all the time. Guy slides into second, clearly beats the throw. He's safe. But he bounces off the bag just a little bit. And the fielder holds the glove on him the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the infielders are now, it is understood as a part of the game. You keep that glove on him.
Right.
Because if he bounces off that bag, even a quarter of an inch.
Replay will get it.
Replay will get it, and that person will be out. Why? He's off the bag, the ball's on him. He's out. And so you watch this. And when it happens to your team, it's frustrating. It's like, come on, he's safe. And then his leg barely bounced off mm-hmm. the bag. It's not like he went past the bag. It's just as he was sliding through the bag, his leg barely came off the bag and they held the glove on him. Replay says that. It's frustrating, but baseball is basically just part of the game now. You slide, you better stay on that bag. You better grab the bag. Make sure two legs, whatever you got to do, you cannot bounce off the bag. 20 years ago, you bounce off the bag, nobody cares, you're safe. Now, replay, super slow-mo HD, bounce off the bag, they got that glove on you, you're out. Happens all the time in baseball, yeah. All the time. That's the equivalent of what happened last night in this basketball game. Up until replay, as it is administered today, that ball is given back to the Suns 100 out of 100 times. But now, given the way replay is used and given the extent to which we can slow it down and zoom it in, well, if you're going to go by the letter of the law, who touched the ball last? I mean, that's what it is. Who knocked the ball out of bounds? Who touched it last? Well, then you're going to get stuff like this. It happened in the national championship game 2 years ago in college basketball. It's happened other times, and it happened last night. So you are in the party of, come on, this is ridiculous. We've been watching basketball forever. That ball has forever been off of Patrick Beverley and given back to the Suns. And I get that. And this is where, and I think most people are in that camp. Like, I don't care what the slow motion replay shows. I know basketball. Mm-hmm. That dude knocked the ball out. This is where Jeff Van Gundy was last night as well. And I think that's where I am too. But then the question becomes, how do you resolve this problem? How do you resolve it? You want to have replay because you want to get calls right. But, man, replay shows you some stuff that you can't see in real time. And it shows you some stuff that runs counter to the way the game has forever been played. That runs counter to the way people think the game should be played. How do you resolve this situation? I don't know that there's a simple answer.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I don't know how you could have replay to see who touched the ball last and it clearly be Devin Booker and then say, but, nah, we're giving it to the Suns.
Right. Like, I mean, I think there would have to be some kind of understood rule with all the refs, like, in that specific type of situation. Like, we know what we're seeing right here. We also know that Devin Booker is not losing the basketball if Patrick Beverley does not come up and swipe at the basketball. Maybe there's, like, a middle ground or something that they could come to.
Maybe, but then, like, okay, so what did Patrick Beverley actually do last night? He slapped the ball away, and then it hit Devin Booker's hand and mm-hmm. then went out of bounds. So slightly, but it did. Nobody would argue if he slapped the ball away and it hit off Devin Booker's foot.
That's true.
Nobody would argue that.
No, then it's for sure turnover. Right.
I saw somebody make this point last night, and I don't know how it would work exactly, but I don't know. I remembered it today when I woke up. Somebody suggested on Twitter, here's the way you fix that replay. You allow refs to go to the monitor, but you only let them look at it a limited number of times. Like, you can look at it twice, but also at normal speed. We're not slowing it down for you. Whatever you see in normal speed with two glucks, now make the call. And if it's not convincing, stick with your initial call, which would have been Suns ball. In other words, we'll let you see it in normal speed, but if normal speed to the normal eye shows one thing, even if it contradicts super slow-mo zoomed in,
yeah,
then that's fine because that's the way the game's always been played. It has always been officiated by what does the human eye see in real time at normal speed. And the best way to go back to that while still allowing replay is to only allow the officials to see these bang-bang plays at normal speed in, you know, for a limited number of times. If you see it and you clearly got it wrong, you'll see it. This happens in baseball all the time, too. Like, they go to the replay, and it's so clear. Like, the runner's safe. Mm-hmm. I just saw it. Okay, boom, safe. Let's go. Let's keep playing. But if you want to speed up the game in these moments and also stay true to what basketball always was, then look at it twice in normal speed. If you see it and it's obviously counter to what you called, reverse the call. But if you can't see it or it's not clear, stick with the call you made, and let's get back to playing basketball. Perhaps it's more complicated than that, but that seemed to resonate with me. That might be a nice common ground.
I think it makes sense.
So either way, the way replay is administered right now, they end up giving the ball to the Clippers. Still a one-point game.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers inbound the ball to Paul George, and he gets fouled. So he goes to the free throw line, 8.4 seconds left. Clippers still up one. And this dude missed both free throws.
I got to admit, in that moment, I felt kind of bad for him.
I felt sick for him.
I mean, because the thing is like, he has shown up in these playoffs.
He's been great.
Hey, he has.
He was great 40 seconds earlier.
Absolutely.
Hitting a mid-range jumper.
Like, because the thing is all, it's going to be playoff P. That's what it's going to, because of those two missed free throws. But he's been so good for them without Kawhi. Like, I felt bad for the guy.
Like, I don't root for people to feel like hell. I just don't.
I really don't either, GP.
I don't want that for people because
sometimes I like it depending on the person, but in most instances, no, I don't want that.
I don't root for that because I am constantly projecting. How do I think I'd feel if this happened to me? And if that happened to me last night, I'd be sick. You already know that last summer people or last fall. People were calling you Pandemic P, clowning you.
Yeah.
Bubble P, clowning you for your performance in the bubble. And then you actually come back these playoffs and you're performing at a high level.
Yeah.
And you're sort of ridding yourself of the punchlines. Like, people are taking you seriously now as what you actually are, which is, take those two free throws away last night and take every, like, joke you've ever made. You know what Paul George is? One of the best basketball players in the world.
Yes.
He's incredible.
He's very good. I would like him on my team.
He's incredible.
Yes.
But, boy, once you get a reputation, every time you do something to enhance that reputation, it's a bad thing for you. And so, in addition to just costing my team the game, which would suck, you're right back to where you were. People just clowning you. Mm-hmm. One of the best basketball players in the world. And, like, just do a Twitter search on Paul George. I did one 30 minutes ago. Laughing out loud at some of the memes and just the jokes. I feel sick for the guy. I can still laugh. But, man, what a tough spot. And also, wildly improbable for him to do that. And there's nothing you can do, no way to label it, other than he choked.
Yeah, there's, I mean, he choked.
There's no explanation, other explanation for it. Like, Ben Simmons misses two free throws? He just might. He can't shoot.
He can't shoot free throws. Right, right.
Paul George is an 87% free throw shooter.
Yeah.
How about this? He missed five free throws last night, two in the final 10 seconds. He hasn't missed five free throws in a game since, guess, trivia time.
Five free throws in a game.
When's the last time Paul George missed five free throws in a game?
I'm willing to bet it was in the bubble.
8 years ago.
Wow.
He hasn't missed five free throws in a game in 8 years. And the night that he did that is the only night his entire career that he's ever missed five free throws in a game. 8 years ago and last night. How about this? Entering last night's game, you get fouled, you got two shots, right?
Right.
It's a normal basketball thing. Do you know how many times Paul George went to the line to shoot two free throws and missed both of them this season before last night?
I'll say once.
Once.
Yeah.
Once
That's
ever.
That's insane.
February 21st against Brooklyn.
Ugh.
He went to the free throw line to shoot two free throws, obviously a lot of times this season. He only missed both once. He made both 104 times. He is 104 times more likely, forgive me if this isn't exactly how the math works, but you'll get the point. He's 104 times more likely to make two than he is to miss two. And he missed two. And it's the ultimate ball don't lie moment. Because they replay, gives it back to the Clippers. Then Paul George gets fouled. He missed those free throws. We're more or less back right where we were.
Right.
8 or 9 seconds to go. Phoenix has the ball down a point. Get the ball to Devin Booker again. Boy, they blitz him. They're like, we ain't letting this dude beat us. Which I actually agree with. He wisely gets rid of the ball. Another pass. Mikal Bridges in the corner. Misses a wide open three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly why you blitz Devin Booker. Because you live with Mikal Bridges. How many memories you got of Mikal Bridges beating somebody?
Not many.
Like, maybe if you're a St. John's fan in the Big East, but that ain't the dude you're worried about with Phoenix. So blitz Devin Booker, make him give it up. We'll live with a Mikal Bridges three at the buzzer. He missed it. But the ball goes out of bounds, and Phoenix gets it with 0.9 seconds left, which leads to the value. Jay Crowder, former Grizzly, going to inbound it. And at this point, I think everybody's seen the highlight. He throws a perfect pass.
It was awesome.
Perfect pass. DeAndre Ayton dunks it at the buzzer. It wasn't technically game over because the Clippers did get a Paul George missed heave at the buzzer. But the game was basically over with an alley-oop from Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton. Suns win it by a point. And so at that point, you're just fired up and you're reading Twitter, and then SportsCenter comes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Legler was on last night. He's incredible.
I liked him.
They don't use him the way they ought to use him. Like, I can enjoy different analysts for what they are, but the ones I really enjoy are people who tell me things that I otherwise wouldn't know or that I otherwise might not know. Like, explain to me what happened here and why it happened here. And of everybody on ESPN, I don't know Tim Legler at all, but everybody, he's the best at it. I mean, he is great. I'm telling you, whenever you see him on TV, watch him. Because, you know, he's perhaps not, you know, he's not out there saying the most controversial things like Stephen A. Smith or maybe Kendrick Perkins or whomever. But, man, he's really talking basketball. He's talking basketball. This is a guy, I saw some people tweet last night, because I went, as I'm watching him talk, I'm like, man, are other people, like, watching this? And of course they are, but I'm like, man, this guy is breaking it down. And so I do a Twitter search on him just to see what people, and, like, there were multiple people. Like, I don't understand why Tim Legler's not on somebody's staff. He's so good. Because the first thing he pointed out, and this is not something I've noticed in real time, but boy, when you go back and watch it, he's exactly right. DeMarcus Cousins, the Clippers, Tyronn Lue put him on the ball. You know, big guy, put him on the ball, wave your arms. Try to make the pass, try to disrupt it. Even if you don't deflect it, just make it more difficult than it otherwise would be. Well, the point Tim Legler pointed out is that DeMarcus Cousins was just playing right in front of Jay Crowder, arms straight up in the air. As Legler pointed out, at that point, where is the most, what's the most likely thing Phoenix is going to do with less than a second under the basket? They're going to throw it at the rim. They've got DeAndre Ayton.
I did not think that was a good idea, putting Boogie Cousins in that. He, I mean, no offense, but like when you watch the replay, like he's not even like really jumping up and down that much.
He looked like he was lazy.
Yeah,
like
that was not. That was not a good idea.
The point Legler made, and this is spot on, if you're going to put a big on the ball, that's fine. A lot of coaches would do that. He's got to shade the basket. Mm. You have to cut that pass off. Make him throw it to the three-point line.
Yeah.
And if Devin Booker wants to catch and shoot from 24 feet,
fine.
Well, you know, we'll take our chances. The last thing you want Jay Crowder having in that moment is a clear pass to the rim with DeAndre Ayton running to the rim.
Yeah.
So, you know, Legler gave Phoenix a lot of credit, but he said the first problem here is DeMarcus Cousins is serving no purpose whatsoever.
No.
You're playing 4-on-4 when you could be playing 5-on-4 on the court. You're playing 4-on-4, and you're using DeMarcus Cousins to accomplish absolutely nothing. You've got to shade to the basket and make them throw the ball away from the basket, not put it on the rim. Because even if everybody didn't realize it in real time, it was explained pretty quickly on the broadcast, there is no goaltending on an inbound pass. It's a live ball, go get it. If you go back and watch the replay, Paul George is like begging the refs for a goaltending call. He doesn't even know the rules. Paul George doesn't know the rules. He's begging the refs. He's like, goaltend. No, there's no goaltend. Throw it at the rim and let DeAndre Ayton, who's like one of the best at that, at going up and getting balls, throw it at the rim and let him dunk it.
Man, he's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that you still redo that draft and like he's probably not number one, but.
No, Luka's one and he's two.
He's two. There's no doubt.
Well, Trae Young might be, too.
Trae might be, too. That's a good point.
I mean, you know, we can, whatever, but it's like those are the top three picks, Luka, DeAndre Ayton, and Trae Young.
But I got no problem with him going number one because it worked out good for them.
Oh, no, it was a mistake. If you didn't draft Luka Doncic, you made a mistake.
Okay.
Like, if you didn't get the right guy, it's a mistake. Like, DeAndre Ayton is probably a future all-star big.
Yes.
Luka Doncic is maybe a future MVP. I would say probably a future MVP. It was a mistake. You got a really good player, but you didn't get the guy. You didn't get the guy. It was a mistake. But, like, DeAndre Ayton's awesome. Both these things can be true.
Yeah, sure.
Phoenix made a mistake, but DeAndre Ayton is awesome. He's just not Luka. So, there's a lot of other stuff going on that play. Devin Booker setting an incredible screen on a much bigger man with a broken nose. And then, of course, Ayton pulls Zubac into the screen, which I saw some people complaining about last night, but that's the way that's going to go down in that moment.
Of course.
Even Cameron Payne, who was on SportsCenter after the game, said, we just know that in that moment, the refs are going to let you get away with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to get away with it. They are not going to call DeAndre Ayton for holding Zubac's jersey in that moment. They're just not going to call that.
Nope.
especially at Phoenix. These refs are human, especially after Phoenix just got maybe screwed on a replay on the prior possession. They're not calling that. So that's just going to be part of it. But either way, man, what an awesome game. Incredible ending. And even though I'm tired for the second consecutive day, felt like time well spent last night.
I think so, too.
I had fun watching basketball. Looking forward to game three. Campaign was one of the stars. Spend a few minutes on him real quick when we get back. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hand.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you. Push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie.
So the way the Game 2 Western Conference Finals ended last night and all the controversy that came about in the final 30 seconds kind of overshadowed what would otherwise perhaps be the biggest story from the game. And that's that Phoenix's backup point guard, in the absence of Chris Paul, who, of course, has missed two straight games because he tested positive for COVID. Phoenix's backup point guard has stepped into that starting lineup and been absolutely incredible. His name's Cameron Payne. He's from right here in Memphis, as I'm sure you know. Played 37 minutes last night in the starting lineup, 12 of 24 from the field, 29 points and 9 assists. And, boy, I'm not certain, but... I'm sure somewhere deep down, he never wanted his friend and teammate and mentor, Chris Paul, to test positive for COVID. You wouldn't wish that on somebody.
Right.
But, boy, is he benefiting from it. And not just in the sense that he is becoming a real figure in this postseason, but because he's an unrestricted free agent this summer.
Man, he is about to get paid.
I mean, I couldn't begin to guess what that's going to look like. But there were people on Twitter last night trying to guess what that might look like. And it was like $10 million a year, $11 million a year.
That's awesome.
Super awesome. This dude was playing for the Texas Legends last year.
Yeah.
He was in China. He was out of the NBA.
Yeah. And, I mean, former lottery pick. Like, dude, that, I mean... It would be so easy to get down on yourself.
Dude, who are you telling? Of course
right.
It would. Like we think about this in real world terms all the time. Like you hear about somebody, did you hear, especially in the pandemic, did you hear about so-and-so lost their job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you hear about so-and-so's mom? She lost her job. Company was downsizing, pandemic, had to make cuts, lost the job. That's what happened to him. I mean, it wasn't pandemic. He lost his job.
Yeah.
He had a great job and he lost it. And, of course, it'd be easy to get down on yourself. You're a lottery pick in 2015, and then come 2018, you're in the G League. And so 3 years after you're picked in the lottery, you're in the G League. 2 years after that, you're in China. Of course it'd be easy to get down on yourself. Except, by all accounts, he didn't. He kept working. Kept working. Kept working. And, you know, there's so many cliches in sports that you can roll your eyes at a lot of them, but that doesn't mean some of them aren't true. And one of them is, keep preparing as if you'll have an opportunity so that if you get one, you'll be ready for it to take advantage of it. Doesn't mean you'll get the opportunity, but like, boy, if you do get it, for whatever reason, you'd rather be prepared for it than not. So put in the work. And now here we are. Western Conference Finals, team's leader and starting point guard pops a positive test. Now you're the starting point guard for a Western Conference Finals team. What? You were in China 2 years ago? Now you're the starting point guard for a team in the Western Conference Finals? From a team that's 2 wins away from the NBA Finals? Now he'll be back on the bench come game 3 because Chris Paul is expected to play. But he has already done enough, it appears, to not only guarantee he's going to be in the NBA again next season, but he's going to be in the NBA next season making more money than he's ever made. The most money he ever made in a season was 2018-19. It was with the Chicago Bulls. He made $3.2 million. He's made, by the time this season is over, in excess of $12 million. Playing in 6 seasons. Here, in China, in the NBA, in the G League. Add it all up, it's in excess of $12 million. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But now, maybe you sign a 2-year 20, a 3-year 30, a 3-year 33. You change your life with the way you're playing right now on this stage. Changing your life. It's like a mid-major basketball coach getting into the NCAA tournament and winning 2 games going to the Sweet 16. And now the USC job's open, and they want to do 6 years, $15 million. You just changed your life like that. Cameron Payne's changing his life right now. So what an awesome thing to see. He got to do the SportsCenter interview last night with Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah.
And Scott was talking to him about, you know, you're a former lottery pick, and then you're out of the league, and now here you are. And he didn't say talking to Scott Van Pelt, but that's the implication. Like, yo, you went from out of the NBA – now you're talking to me on SportsCenter after scoring 29 points in game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. What? And one of the things Cameron said, which I could appreciate because I hope young people out there were listening and paying attention. Like, don't give up. You know, some people don't ever get knocked down. Some people don't ever get humbled. It just works out for them for whatever reason. Lots of times it's because they deserve it. Other times, I can't explain it. But for every person that doesn't have to deal with real adversity, that doesn't have to be humbled, that doesn't get knocked down, knocked backwards, there's 5 that do. Maybe 500 that do. And so there's a good chance you'll be one of those people. There's a good chance when you go to college, something's not going to go right for you. There's a good chance when you get your first job, something's not going to go right. There's a decent chance that you're going to lose a job one day that you had and loved. Or that you might not get the job that you apply for, that you desperately want it. Keep going. Keep working. Can't promise you it'll work out, but man, it might. And he's a perfect high-profile example of that right now. Cameron Payne, 29 points, starting for the Suns in Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals and solidifying himself as a free agent who is going to be in some kind of demand this offseason. I don't know exactly what the contract's going to look like, but the second he signs it, and he will, he'll be making more money than he's ever made in his entire life a year after spending time in the Texas Legends uniform. Wild. Major League Baseball started checking pitchers for foreign substances 2 days ago. Last night, it came to a head. Max Scherzer basically tried to take his pants off, just a little left of the pitcher's mound. Then he was on the verge of maybe fighting Joe Girardi. Made for some fun scenes, but Major League Baseball got a real problem now. We'll get into that next. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus Death Gun on the Cardilla. Just bought a demon.
dreaming, I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a bar that the God...
It's almost July 4th. That means it's time to buy fireworks, especially if you got kids. My little guy's already asking me, Dad, can we get fireworks? I'm like, we're going to get fireworks. Don't relax. Relax. Are your iPads dead? Why are you bugging me about fireworks right now? But we'll be there, and we'll be at Boom City Fireworks because they got two locations in the Memphis area. One's at 3rd Street South. The other is at Get Well on State Line Road. That's the one I go to. A million different reasons to do it, one of which is that you're shopping indoors. You don't have to be on this hot weather looking for fireworks. You can be indoors, air-conditioned, both locations. That's the deal. It's the Mid-South's largest fireworks selection, and both locations are open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Shop early so you can avoid the crowds as we get closer to the 4th. And both locations are obviously really convenient and easy to get to, especially now that the bridge is closed. You don't have to get caught in that traffic trying to go to Arkansas to get your fireworks. Boy, you don't want any part of that. I'm telling you, you want no part of that. If you want to shop in the Memphis area, avoid the bridge, and you could do that with Boom City Fireworks. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com. Just type in Boom City Fireworks in that search engine. All of the information will pop right up. They got daily specials. Again, shop early to avoid the rush. That's Boom City Fireworks, two locations in the Memphis area. Go get all the information, the Facebook page. Just type in Boom City Fireworks at facebook.com. Jeff Calk is going to be here real quick. Let's run through this. I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Wild night last night in Major League Baseball. Most of the attention focused on Nationals Phillies, where Max Scherzer was repeatedly checked for foreign substances and ultimately decided to just throw his glove and hat on the ground.
Yeah, he got upset.
Take his belt off, threw it on the ground, pulled his pants down. Like, I think everybody was cool with it the first time. But then you're going to check me again after this inning, check me again after this inning. And then Joe Girardi told the umps to go check him again, and that's where he really got upset. What Girardi explained afterward, and he may be right, I don't know. He said, listen, I've been around Max forever, watching him pitch from this dugout. I've never seen him go to his hair. Tonight he was going to his hair.
What do you mean, like rubbing his hair?
So, listen, if you've got foreign substances on your glove, hat, or belt, they're going to see that now. They're checking you for those things.
Right.
So what Girardi was certainly suggesting is that whatever Max was using, he put it in his hair and that he was going to his hair to get the foreign substance. That's what Girardi was suggesting.
Wow.
He said, listen, I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just telling you the truth. I got to do what's best for my club. And I've watched Max pitch a million times. I've never seen him go to his hair like that. Tonight he's constantly taking his hat off and going to his hair. Why? And Max actually said, well, I was trying to get some moisture, you know, and my hair was sweaty. We need stuff on the ball. I don't know. I don't know what's...
If I'm him, I would not have said that.
You know?
That makes you look like you're lying.
What it makes you look like is that you've been cheating, and now you can't anymore, so now you're doing what you have to do.
Yeah.
I never went to my hair. The honest answer is probably this. I never went to my hair before because I could go to my hat, because I could go to my belt, because I could go to my glove. But now they're on us. So I can't go to my hat, glove, belt, so I can go to my hair. Like Joe Girardi was probably right, but it didn't keep Max Scherzer from, like, you know, if you'd let him go, they might have fought. Girardi got thrown out of the game. Do you see today, they played a day game today, and Bryce Harper came out, and Max Scherzer was yelling at the umps, check his hair! Check his hair. And Harper was laughing. They used to be teammates, obviously. So, listen, I understood the motivation behind this, and I did want Major League Baseball to clean this up because it was getting ridiculous. Like, hitting is hard enough. You don't have to make it harder by letting the pitchers cheat. But you can't do this. You can't do it like this. It's like a stop-and-frisk situation. Like, hey, we don't know if you've done anything wrong, but we're going to stop you and just check. Like, you can't do – I know that was a thing once upon a time in New York City, but, like, you can't do that.
because what you're basically doing to every pitcher every night is saying, we think you're cheating, so we're going to make sure you're not. It'd be like if every time you got pulled over in your car, they searched your car. Every time. And you're like, dude, I'm just taking my kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to search your car anyway. Like, I get it, beyond the fact that it'd be illegal, it'd get old really quickly. And this has already gotten old really quickly for these pitchers. So I don't know what the solution is. You know, it seems to me like,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.